The digital clock on the microwave says 2:14 a.m. The light is a clinical neon green that cuts through the dark of the kitchen. My hands are shaking so hard, I have to tuck them under my armpits. I am standing on the cold tile of a house in Forest Hill that costs more than my entire village back in Pangasinan. I have lived here for 14 months. I know every creak in the floorboards. I know which cabinet hinges groan if you pull them too fast. Tonight, I am not the caregiver. Tonight, I am a thief in my own home. Mrs. Sterling is asleep in the master bedroom on the second floor. Mr. Sterling is in Dubai for a consultancy week. Between me and the front door is a locked mahogany office. Inside that office, in the bottom drawer of a fireproof safe, is my blue Philippine passport. It has been there since the day I arrived. "For safekeeping, Elena," she told me then. Her smile didn't reach her eyes, even back then. She said it was to protect me from losing it. I was new. I was grateful. I was a fool. Last week, the news broke about the 2026 caregiver visa reforms. The government paused the permanent residency intake. The path to a real life here just slammed shut for thousands of us, unless you have a recognized employer. Unless you can prove your current one is breaking the law. Withholding a passport is a federal crime in Canada. It is human trafficking. But out here, under the soft glow of the pot lights, it just feels like a prison. I move toward the office. The air in the hallway is heavy with the scent of expensive lilies. Every breath feels like I'm inhaling glass. I reached the door. The handle is cold. I know where she keeps the spare key. It is hidden inside a hollowed-out book on the library shelf. The Great Gatsby. She thinks she is clever. I find the book. My fingers fumbled with the spine. The key dropped into my palm with a tiny metallic clink. I froze. The house is silent, but the silence is predatory. Upstairs, the baby monitor on the counter crackles with white noise. Leo is sleeping. I love that boy. I have raised him more than she has, but I cannot stay for him. If I stay, I disappear. I unlock the office door. The hinges are silent. I oiled them myself 3 days ago. The room smells like cigars and expensive leather. I crawl on my hands and knees toward the desk. I don't want to trigger the motion sensor lights. The safe is under the return of the L-shaped desk. It is a digital keypad. I've watched her type the code a dozen times while bringing her tea. 0612. Leo's birthday. I punch the numbers. The electronic lock whirs. It sounds like a chainsaw in the dead of night. I hold my breath until my lungs burn. Nothing. No footsteps upstairs. I pull the heavy door open. There it is. The blue cover is dusty. I grab it and shove it into the waistband of my leggings. The plastic edges bite into my skin. It is the most beautiful pain I have ever felt. I also take the folder next to it. My original contract. The one that says I am to be paid $25 an hour. The one she replaced with a private agreement for $12 once I landed. I need the proof. I need the evidence of the debt. She says I owe for my travel expenses. $6,000. That is the price of my soul. According to the Sterlings, I relock the safe. I relock the office. I put the key back in the fake book. I am a shadow. I go back to my room in the basement. It is a windowless box next to the furnace. My bag is already packed. It's just a backpack. Two changes of clothes, a photo of my son, a power bank. I check my phone. The advocate from the Migrant Workers Alliance messaged me an hour ago. The car will be at the corner of Spadina and St. Clair at 3 a.m. Do not look back. It is 2:42 a.m. I have to pass the nursery to get to the back mudroom. I stop at the door. I can hear Leo's rhythmic, soft breathing. He's 3 years old. He doesn't know his mother is a ghost and his nanny is a fugitive. I want to go in and kiss his forehead. But if I do, I will cry. If I cry, I will stay. I turn away. I reach the mudroom. The security system keypad is glowing red. I know the bypass code. They gave it to me so I could take the dog out for late night walks. Stay. Bypass. 4492. The light turns green. I open the heavy door. The February air hits me like a physical blow. It is minus 15 degrees. I am wearing a thin parka and sneakers. I don't care. The cold feels like freedom. I walk down the driveway. Every crunch of snow under my feet sounds like a gunshot. I expect the floodlights to snap on. I expect her to scream my name from the balcony. Elena, where are you going with my property? Because that's what I am to her. A piece of equipment. A high-end appliance that fixes lunches and wipes noses. I reach the sidewalk. I don't run. Running attracts attention. I walk like a woman who belongs here. I walk like a woman who isn't terrified of the police cruiser turning the corner. If they stop me, what do I say? I have my passport now, but I have no work permit that allows me to leave. Under the 2026 rules, I am out of status the moment I stop working for the person named on my visa. I am choosing to be illegal over being enslaved. I see the car, a gray sedan with the hazard lights blinking twice. The driver rolls down the window. It is a woman. She looks like me. Tired eyes, strong jaw. Elena? She whispers. Yes, I say. My voice is a ghost of itself. I get into the back seat. The heat in the car makes my skin itch. I pull the passport out of my waistband and hold it against my chest. I am shaking again. You have it? She asks. I have it. And the contract? Everything. She nods and pulls away from the curb. I look back at the house. The lights are still off. They won't know I'm gone until 7 a.m. That's when the coffee is supposed to be ready. That's when Leo wakes up and asks for his oatmeal. By 7 a.m., I will be in a basement in Scarborough. I will be a name on a file for a human rights lawyer. I will be one of the thousands fighting for a 2027 spot in a system that doesn't want us. I think about the caregiver visa reforms. The politicians on the news talk about sustainable levels. They talk about protecting the borders. They never talk about the safes in the offices of Forest Hill. They never talk about the debt that never gets smaller. I look at my phone. I have a message from my sister in the Philippines. Did you send the money for the tuition? The bank says the transfer failed. I close my eyes. I have $42 in my pocket. I have no job. I have no legal right to be in this country anymore. I have my passport, but I have lost my income. I am free, and I have never been more terrified in my life. The car speeds up as we hit the Don Valley Parkway. The city lights blur into long golden streaks. I am just another woman in a gray car. I am a statistic. I am a headline they haven't written yet. I think of Leo. He will wake up and find his room empty. He will cry for Nana. Mrs. Sterling will tell him I went away because I was bad. She will tell him I stole from them. In a way, she's right. I stole back my life. The driver looks at me in the rearview mirror. It's a long road, Elena. The government is making it harder every day. I know, I say. Are you sure you want to file the complaint? They will try to deport you as soon as the paperwork hits the desk. Let them try, I say. I grip the blue book tighter. I am done hiding in the library. We drive into the gray light of a Toronto morning. The snow starts to fall again. It covers the tracks of my escape. It covers everything. I don't know where I will be next month. I don't know if I will ever see my son back home again. But as the sun tries to break through the clouds over Lake Ontario, I realize something. For the first time in 14 months, I am not waiting for a green light on a microwave to tell me what time it is. I am the one holding the clock. The debt isn't gone, the struggle isn't over, but the safe is empty, and I am finally dangerously awake.